This week, we're hearing a variety of opinions about how the U.S. should move forward in Iraq. A couple of key questions have been how many U.S. troops should be there and for how long. More than once, we've heard people say they would leave the numbers to the military. Well, Thomas Hammes is one person who offers some specifics. He was a colonel in the Marines. He's now retired. Hammes says the U.S. should expect to stay in Iraq for more than a decade. And he says the number of American trainers for each Iraqi battalion should be bumped up to 60.
I would say we need more troops. At this point, there will probably have to be Iraqi troops. In order to get them, we have to vastly increase the number of advisors per battalion. We're only giving 10 men to advise an Iraqi battalion of between 400 and 600 people. That's clearly insufficient. We need to have advisors at the brigades and division levels. Each of the headquarters has to have their own advisors. And then, even more important, in the Ministry of Defense, so that we can overcome some of the corruption and the inability to provide the supplies and equipment that the Iraqi forces desperately need.
And you're saying that's on top of the U.S. forces who are there now?
Yes.
Any sense of how many more that would be then?
I would think if you go with 60, you're probably talking in a neighborhood of 10 to 20,000 more troops total. The problem is these are mostly NCOs and officers. So it's more senior troops.
NCOs, non-commissioned officers.
Non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers. And they should be kind of hand-picked people. So this is very difficult work. Advising in a foreign culture to a new army is extraordinarily difficult work, much, much more difficult than operating in a U.S. unit.
How open-ended do you think the U.S. commitment in Iraq should be? And what sorts of numbers are you looking at for the future?
In the successful counterinsurgencies, there's a period from when you start to do it right to when you resolve many of the issues of about 3 to 4 years. So 3 to 4 years with at least the current troop levels, and then another 10 years with greatly reduced but still advisory presence.
And how big might that presence be?
It'll draw down gradually as we get a handle on it. But I would say you're going to have to at least maintain that 20,000 people, about 60 men per battalion, for a very long period of time.
And you're talking about almost 15 years into the future here.
Yes. One of the problems I have in that all of the discussion is about withdrawal or not withdrawal. We got into Iraq because we rushed into Iraq without any consideration of what were the possible things that could happen. We had one vision. We go in and they'll greet us with flowers. We are now talking about getting out of Iraq and nobody's saying, well, here is the range of things that could go wrong. So we shouldn't make the same mistake rushing out that we made rushing in. Let us have a discussion of this is the range of things that could go right or wrong. And then present them to the American people. Because frankly, without support of the American people, you can't continue.
And your fear, if there were a pretty dramatic withdrawal soon, would be what?
The civil war is gaining intensity. It is getting much worse. We've advanced to the point where they've done the ethnic separation. About 1 million people, I guess, is the estimate, have moved around in Iraq. The neighborhoods are becoming pure Sunni or pure Shia. This has allowed them to start using mortars in regular mortar attacks on each other. That's an indication of significant escalation. The thing that concerns me is if we withdraw too rapidly, then this violence expands. If this really gets going, then obviously the Sunni side, the Saudis, the Syrians, the Kuwaitis will support Sunni, the Iranians will support Shia. If I am a Shia Iraqi strategist, I've got to do something to reduce that outside support. The logical place to go is after the international oil market. And the least protected facilities are Kuwaiti and Saudi facilities, which I could take out and drive the price of oil dramatically. Plus, it helps my Iranian sponsor because no one's attacking his oil facilities, so he continues to pump oil but sells it for a great deal more money.
Do you buy at all the argument that things are at least partly as bad as they are in Iraq right now because of the U.S. presence, because we're a target, and that if we were to withdraw, at least that target would be gone?
Well, the target would be gone and they would turn it on each other. And this would accelerate. I'm not an expert on civil wars, but civil wars tend to get more and more violent as they go. And they tend to last a long time and are fought until both sides are totally exhausted. I think the Lebanese civil war killed about 10% of the Lebanese pre-war population.
Do you think the numbers are there to increase the Iraqi army to the numbers that it would need to be to have control of the country?
Yeah, I think the numbers are there quite clearly. Despite the fact of repeated bombings at recruiting stations, every time we open up recruiting, there's lots of people. What we have failed to do is provide them sufficient advisors to train the people they have or sufficient decent equipment. And on a side note, this administration has also failed to provide sufficient equipment for U.S. forces. It's an administration that claims to be a moral administration, takes great pride in the morality of its decision-making, and yet makes one of the most immoral decisions possible. We are not providing proper equipment for our troops in-country or sufficient equipment out-of-country to train to get ready to go simply because we don't want to spend the money. The equipment's backed up in our repair depots. Our repair depots are only working 8 hours a day. The administration will not authorize overtime.
And how much more money would that take?
Does it matter? We're the richest country in the world. We're asking young men and women to go fight for us under our orders, and we're telling them, yeah, but we really don't want to pay overtime. That's a little expensive. It's an immoral decision. When you've made the decision to go to war, then you spend what's necessary to protect your people.
I'm sure the administration would say we have given the military commanders everything they've asked for.
Then they need to fire some military commanders.
When you think about the Iraq study group and the proposals that it might issue, do they have any good options, or are they basically picking from a whole range of really lousy options?
Because of the failures of the administration up to this point, we are in a position of a series of least bad options. But you still have to make those decisions. Because there's a lot of argument, should we be in Iraq, should we not be in Iraq? It doesn't matter. We're there. It's today. We have to figure out what we're going to do. And I think it will be a least bad option.
Colonel Hammes, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Retired Marine Colonel Thomas Hammes is author of the book The Sling and the Stone on War in the 21st Century. Tomorrow, we hear an argument for getting out of Iraq immediately.
There's no such thing as victory in this war in Iraq. Our military people almost uniformly now admit that we can fight all the battles, but we can't win the political battle.
William Polk, who along with George McGovern has written a book titled Out of Iraq, A Practical Plan for Withdrawal Now, we'll hear from him tomorrow on All Things Considered.